surely goodness and mercy. Soul, you are weary, troubled. feet of Jesus.
Grace, peace, and love from the Lord Jesus Christ is my wish upon each and every one that is listening today morning, that is fellowshipping with us together in, maybe not in presence, but in spirit, and those that are here this morning. May God richly bless us with his Holy Spirit from above, showering us with a blessing that is beyond what we maybe had expected today morning. May he bless us in a real powerful way today morning. Is my wish and prayer, not just alone in this church, but in all of God's churches, may he be found being blessed and be a blessing to us as his children. Thank you for being part of this morning's message, and let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, our life is so short, and though in that short time of our life here on earth, we have times in our life where we find it so hard. We find it so hard to follow the will of yours. We find it so hard to fulfill the will and the following the footsteps of Jesus himself. But Lord God, there's glory that's coming out of it. By tough times in our life and fighting through, pressing forward to the prize and that mark of a high calling. There's glorious things that are to be there for us, laid up in glory. I pray, Lord, that today morning, that you would bless, as I said in opening, bless us this hour. And Lord, that as we realize those hard things that we have to continue to fight through, we would recognize that we'd not give up on that, but that we would also recognize that there's glorious things to appear in the day that we enter glory land. Thank you, and we pray for your blessing upon this message. And Lord, today morning, possibly there are some that are not feeling well. Some of them maybe are depressed, discouraged, feel like they're not loved by anybody. Lord, may your spirit draw near to them, surround them, and fill them. Enter right into them, Lord. If they open up the door, knock at their door. And if they open up, Lord, pray that you just enter inside and fill them with your glorious love. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, verse 35, he says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I'm sure there's many, many times that we've heard that verse, take up your cross and follow me. But is it easy? It isn't. It is a hard, honestly, a hard thing to do. It is a tough decision. Today morning, I want to just take us to a passage in John chapter 12 and speak of the things that Jesus had to do. Jesus, in John chapter 12, verse 9, pardon me, I want to start at verse 12. John 12, verse 12. This is a part of his life where Jesus is on his way to the Passover. He's coming to Jerusalem, and it's just the week, the beginning of the week, before the Passover is to start. At the end of the week, Jesus was crucified. And so it says there in verse 12 of John 12, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.' And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt.' These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how he prevailed nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him.'" Jesus here, he says it's the next day, and Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and the people have gathered together. They've gotten together and they're there to praise one coming in, believing and trusting that he is the king, the Messiah. And they take branches. In another book of the gospel, it actually tells us that they even took their clothing and they spread it across the road and they were singing Hosanna as Jesus comes through their area and enters towards into Jerusalem. He is on a young donkey, which we understand from Scripture that has never been ridden. And it tells us there that the disciples could not understand these things at first, but later on, when it was actually fulfilled, when Jesus was glorified, that's when they seemed to remember what had happened, what Jesus had said, and things were done. And all those things together, they just made sense to them later on. But it tells what I want to get into is what the people did. Here they flocked together to to just praise Jesus and just lift him up high. And it says in verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. They took and they bear record of who Jesus was, what Jesus had done, how Jesus had done many miracles already at this point, and one being Lazarus being dead and in the grave, that Jesus raised him from the dead. But this did something. Because of what the people said and what they told others about Jesus, it says in verse 18, for this cause the people also met him. For that they heard that he had done this miracle. This was spread. This was proclaimed in, it must have been quite an area, because people were just coming together and they wanted to see this Jesus. But the Pharisees, they say something among themselves, and they say, perceive ye how he prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him. The world has gone after him. Who would these Pharisees consider the world? I believe not themselves, not the Jews. But I understand they're thinking of the others that have come together. The other people of different parts and different nationalities. It doesn't say that here necessarily. But I wonder what went through these Pharisees' minds in the fact that look at how he's drawing people to him. And in their mind, maybe thinking, we're going to lose. If we don't do something about this, we're going to lose the power of the Roman Empire, power that we have. The way we have our law, the way we do things. Because Jesus is doing many different things, different ways. We're not supposed to work on Sabbath. Jesus did some of that. The disciples picked corn and so on and so forth. He healed on a Sabbath and so on. And so all these things, I believe, were something that they were just really watching and saying, you know what, now the world's gone after him yet. Now it's the others, and we're not even getting them on our side. They should be following the law that we follow. So what happens? Now I want to get into the next part. The next part is 20. To 26. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. As I mentioned in verse 19, the Pharisees are already saying, look, the world is already following him. The world has gone after him. And right after that, it tells us in Scripture that there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Greeks. People from Greece, people from an area where they were not part of that same bloodline as the Jews, they came to worship at the feast. And we could say, as Pharisees, they will have recognized the difference. So what happened? It tells us here the same, these people, the people, the Greek people, they came to Philip at Bethsaida of Galilee, and they desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." These Greek people had a desire. They wanted to see this Jesus. I am sure that they heard a lot of news about him already, a lot of things that Jesus had done. And so they came to worship at the feast. They came to worship this Jesus, as I understand. And so they're asking Philip. They're saying to him, "Philip, sir, we want to see him. We want to see this Jesus." Then Philip comes and he tells Andrew. And now I'm just trying to imagine this conversation that's going on between Philip and Andrew. And I don't know if Philip would have been, "Hey, guess what? The Greek people have come. Even they want to see Jesus. Even they want to see our master." I'm thinking that Andrew was, or pardon me, Philip was possibly excited. And maybe it was the first person that he saw was Andrew, but it does tell us that Philip comes and he tells Andrew. And then Andrew and Philip go and tell Jesus that the Greek people are there to see him. Then Jesus answers them back. And Jesus says to him, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." I don't believe they understood. I should say, I believe that they did not understand. I believe that they could not understand what Jesus meant about that this hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This he says at the beginning of the week, to be glorified at the end of the week, he's being crucified. Then Jesus says, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Dying. Jesus is speaking about himself, of dying as a corn of wheat so it can bring forth more fruit. He was willing to die and give his life, lose his life, his spirit, his earthly life, his earthly body, so that others could have eternal life. He was willing to serve to receive the honor from the Father. But my thought this morning is, I spoke about at the beginning about, it's hard at times. It's not easy to do what God wants us to do. And so the one part that I want to look at, there's a few pieces here that I want to look at, four of them. The first one is the one in verse 24. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." I was thinking of this spring, and I've been watching my field and going there to just see as things are starting to grow on the oat and wheat field that I have. And how that kernel of wheat that was put into the ground had to die of itself to bring forth more fruit. Possibly in fall, we'll see more fruit on that. But he does say, "Except a corn of wheat die, fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone." That kernel of wheat, if it was not put into the ground and not died of its own, it could not bring more. It would have stayed alone. It would have been just that one piece. It would have been nothing else. Isn't that something that we struggle with? Dying of ourselves, giving up of ourselves, so that God can bring forth more fruit through our life? That's a struggle. Dying of what our body, our flesh desires to do for the world, we have a hard time dying of that and allowing that to be buried with Christ and to be risen with him in a new plant that bringeth forth fruit. The other thing I want to look at is verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. How many of us hate our life? How many of us desire to continue to live our life of the flesh and follow the sins of the world? Some of the things that we could say we have accepted Christ, but are the things still in our fleshly way that we still want to serve the flesh and not let go? Are we willing to hate those things and give them up? That's a hard thing, isn't it? Some things just to hate those things that we do. We want us to live, continue to live in that. The third thing is in verse 26, the first part. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Do you honestly want to follow everything Jesus wants us to do? Maybe we could say it's our riches. Are we willing to give up our finances for Christ? Are we willing to give up our time of pleasure to serve the Lord, to be in his temple, fellowshipping one with another, and with each other maybe in our homes, following Jesus is a hard thing. In the last part of verse 26, he says, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, let him will my Father honor. Do we serve Christ? Do we serve in a way that God can be glorified because of what we do? For myself, I find some areas in my life, it's hard to die from those things, to let go, to give up, to hate some of my own parts of my life in living and wanting to do the pleasures of the world and to follow and to serve Christ. Why? It's because our sin of the flesh. The flesh itself wants to serve sin, but with our soul, we want to serve Christ. And so these are hard things that we have to go through. And when you look at what Jesus said here, he's putting a bit of a challenge out. And he says, we need to do this in order to get some glorious things. And what are those glorious things? What are the glorious items that Jesus speaks about, even though we go through these hard things that we have a hard time giving up or changing from the way we used to do, turn around and following Christ, serving him, giving up of ourselves? What are those glorious things? Let's go back. Let's go back. Verse 24 tells us that if we die of ourselves, it tells us at the end of the verse, it bringeth forth much fruit. If I'm a kernel of wheat, as I said, and I just stay in the bin, and I'm not planted out there, and I don't die of myself and allow this Holy Spirit to enter into me and allow to have a new person formed out of me and come forth as a new plant, I don't allow that to happen, the Holy Spirit to water me, then I will not have the fruit for God. And he does say we need to die to bring forth fruit. That's the glory that we can have coming through us for God if we die of ourselves. The next one is if we hate our life in this world, then we shall keep life eternal. If we hate our life and want to give up our life, we have eternal life with Jesus Christ. But if we do the first part of 25, he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. If we love our life here on earth, we will lose it at the end. But if we hate our life, we hate what we're doing, we're not enjoying the things of the flesh, he says, we will have life eternal, a glorious thing. The third one is that if we follow Jesus, it tells us, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And there is a gift for that. There is a reward for following him. And Jesus says, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. So if I follow Jesus Christ, if you follow Jesus Christ, we will be with Jesus. That is his promise, that where he is, we will also be. All his servants will be there if we follow him. And then, in the last part, it says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You see, if we follow, we serve him, we then will receive honor from the Father in heaven. If I look back and I just think of Simon Peter, I think of John chapter 21, verse 20, 21, 22. Actually, I should start in verse 19. Jesus here is speaking, has just spoken to Peter, and he says to Peter, do you love me? Three times he asks Peter that question, and Peter says he does. And then it says that he says to Peter in the last part of verse 19, he says, follow me. If we go back a few verses, we will find in that same chapter that Jesus caught Peter out fishing. And Jesus had wanted him to go out and serve him. Not back to his old job. Not getting back into our old life that we used to have. If you and I have died of ourselves and given up our old life, let's not try to go back to that kernel of wheat that we were before. But follow him. Follow Jesus Christ. And so Jesus tells him in John 21, verse 19, follow me. Then Peter turns about, verse 20, he says he turns about and seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following. And he's talking about John, the one who wrote this book. This book. Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? It would be like today morning, I would say, okay, God, okay, Jesus, you have chosen me to be a pastor of the church, of the Sommerfeld Church. But what should the rest of them do? What are you going to do with them? And Jesus says to Peter here, and he would say the same to me if I had that same attitude and that same thought. Jesus says to Peter, he says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. It is each one individually. This was not aimed at John. This was aimed at Peter. Peter was wondering about somebody else. Jesus says, what's that to you? Leave that alone. I am talking to you, and you are the one to follow me. Do you feel the Lord saying, something that I have to give up? Are there things in your life that you have a hard time dying from? Is there such a love for the things of the world? I want to tell you, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose your life for eternal. But if you die and you hate the things of your life, hate the things of the sin of your life, you will get eternal life in heaven. Follow, serve Jesus. Take up your cross. Follow him. And again, I want to say this morning, there are four hard things: to die of ourselves, hate our lives in this world, to follow Jesus to Calvary, and to become servants. Christian's life is hard. But the glorious things are these: that we bear much fruit, we keep our lives for eternal life, we join Jesus in his glory, and the Father in heaven honors us. So what do I need to do to bring forth fruit for Christ? I want to go back to Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Mark 8, 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall be saved. We need to lose our life. We need to give up of ourself. We need to die as a kernel of wheat so we can bring forth the fruit for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look, we see the seed that has been seeded by so many, whether it's farmers, whether it's mothers, fathers, possibly children helping in the gardens to seed and to plant new life. Lord God, as that dies of itself and you water it with your Holy Spirit, your water from heaven, Lord, there's a new life that comes out. We see it as starting, and pretty soon some of the plants will multiply in leaves, and as there's more leaves coming, eventually the flowers come, the blossoms, and so on and so forth, and they start to multiply. But Lord, I'm always being mindful of if there's not bees to pollinate it back and forth, if there's not wind to take the pollen and just transfer it from plant to plant, it will not multiply. So we also need to, in our life, rub shoulders. We need to share with one another. We need to talk to each other about your word so it can bring forth more fruit. Help us with that, Lord. Help us to die of ourselves and that you can bring forth a new plant through our life. And as we fellowship one with another, that it brings forth the fruit for eternal life, for others to see that you are living through us. Give us that strength, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you all this morning for coming and being part of this message. May God bless you and richly be a blessing to those around you. And so I want to close with the closing the benediction of Jude verses 20 to 25. But ye beloved, this morning we have built ourselves up on our most holy faith. We've been praying in the Holy Ghost. Now let's keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ right on to eternal life. And if we have an opportunity, let's have compassion. Let's go out and let's make a difference. Save those with fear that are going to hell, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you and me from falling, and to present you faultless and me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. God bless. Go in peace with the Lord.